A New Tax on the Counter-Earth by J. H. Prynne. A dream in sepia and O'Donnell ascends from the ground as a great wish for calm. And the wish is green in season, hazy like meadowsweet, downy and soft waving among the reeds, the cabinet of Mr. Heath. Precious vacancy pales in this studious form. The stupid slow down and become wise with inertia, and instantly the prospect of money is solemnized to the great landscape. It actually glows like a stream of evening sun. Value become coinage, fixed in the grass crown. The moral drive isn't quick enough. The greasy rope trick has made payment an edge of rhetoric. The conviction of merely being right that has marched into the patter of balance. And here the dream prevails, announced by Lord Cromer. His warnings of crisis revert to hillside and the market town. The great pyrotechnics who did it all, red from head to foot, inducing disbelief stronger even than remedies. We become who he is, the abandoned fishing, the asserted instrument renewed as a cloud over the moor. What he says is nothing, the hills and the trees and the distant panorama washing the buried forest. Who he is tells us what he says need not be true. In the dream to come, it will not happen. The botanist and the collector of shells and the consulters of dictionaries and those who light fires with care now hereby confirm the dream and the segmented wish made solid in the time of day. It is cash, so distraught that the limbic midbrain system has absorbed its reflex massage. We move into sleep, proportioned off in the restored liner, and the drowsy body is closer to nature, the counter-earth. The nervous system burns hissing down to its fluid base, watched by the hermaphrodite from Coventry. Now freedom from care deflects the care itself. That grandiloquent spiral of common sense was exotic after all. What was said to be true was so, because said urgently, and when imitated by lazy charade, the truth became optional, alternative to the grand stability of the dream, the transit from drive organization to cognitive process. The truth has lately been Welsh and smoke-laden and endlessly local, and getting it right held the nagging danger of not getting it at all. And being right is not so absolute as being so. The climax community of the dream brings new eyes. The man in the street is visible again. The distance of being so reopens the millennial landscape, that we need not even think of it as possible. Then the possible seems a paltry art. The perceptual events of the dream produce a partial or temporary reduction in the state of need current in the organism. Whether partial or temporary, they release gratitude, the moment of joy self-induced as desire turned back into a globe itself enfolding like a sun, or like a moon, or like a universe of starry majesty. The spot was one which he loved best in all the world. And such affection curdles the effort to be just. The absolute perception spreads calm into the air, and the air works like a sea. The horizon is lit with the righteousness of wayward sentiment, cash as a principle of nature, and cheap at the price.